and on the line now have Karen Meenan. Good afternoon to you, Karen. I'll let you tell me all about yourself because you have a wonderful, wonderful CV, I have to say.
Hi, Noel, first of all.
Good afternoon to you, Karen. Good afternoon. 7 Best Actress Awards and what else?
Oh, gosh. Well, to be honest, Noel, the acting is only kind of the half of it. It's an arts project, yes it is, where we're putting on a play in Axis next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it is a play and it is an arts project. But more importantly, it's how we came to devise the play is the interesting part of the story. Well, mm-hmm. for me, anyway.
Yes.
So my background is acting, but in business as well. And more recently, my mum had Alzheimer's and she passed away in June last year, so 18 months ago. But when she started to get very sick and her memory started to go, we tried as a family to find out ways that we could connect with her in the ways that we used to. And Mam always had a great love of telling stories and singing songs and, you know, just remembering tales and regaling us with stories. So what I tried to do was capture things that we'd learned from Mam, you know, listening to her stories and then trying to find the drama within. So that's really where the genesis of the We Were All Young Once play came about.
Okay, so it's quite personal and everything else. Because they do say that people, I mean, there's a group in Baldoyle that have a musical society there.
And the Forget-Me-Nots, yeah.
The Forget-Me-Nots, yeah. And that's where all the donations, the profits from the play is going to as well. But I do remember talking to people over the years and they have discovered that the one thing that remains with people is memory of song. It's amazing. Like, they mightn't know who's in front of them. They mightn't know what they're watching on TV. But do you start singing a song and they know the words just like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you're so right, Noel. And actually, the Forget-Me-Nots Choir, it's a dementia-inclusive choir. That was started by my sister, Orla Horn. And so she founded the choir 4 years ago, and my other sister Fiona and I are volunteers there. So what we noticed over the last 4 or 5 years is that there's a huge, like just what you were saying, Noel, is there's a huge fondness for old songs, and they know all the words, and they mightn't remember that they were there last week or the week before, that doesn't matter. What they do remember is that they're enjoying the moment, and they're enjoying their time with each other, and they're making connections, and, you know, and our choir director, Nora, is fantastic. You know, she's quite challenging as well. She teaches harmonies and rhythms, and, you know, and in fact, she was giving us a conducting class last week.
That's another skill you're picking up.
Well, this is it. You know, and her whole theory is just because you've got dementia or you're old doesn't mean you can't learn new skills. So I love all that. So putting together the play was all about, you know, we did lots of workshops with the Forget-Me-Nots and also with residents of Hotel Lodge Nursing Home and also with teenagers of Santa Sabina School in Sutton. So we tried to get an intergenerational, and the theme really was, a very loose theme was, we were all young once and what did you do getting ready to go out? Because mm-hmm. I noticed from my teenagers that most of their enjoyment of going out was, you know, what house they were going to go to first and the pizza and the swapping clothes and the makeup and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turned out that, you know, we're not so different after all. You know, the seniors, they had the exact same story to tell, except maybe they weren't, you know, sharing clothes, but they were running up outfits. They were getting patterns and going into hickeys and buying material and running up outfits for the Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But they were still doing the same thing. It was all kind of getting ready to go out and the anticipation of what that night might be like.
Yeah, and what's in store. Yeah. If I could just go back, is this the first foray into, as I said, you have a great CV, but is it a first foray into actually writing something and producing
yes.
something yourself? Wow.
Yes, I am so excited.
Is
by
that
it.
A nervous yeah. laugh right here?
I am nervous, excited, thrilled, you know, all of daunted. It's my first time to write a play, and it's my first time, and I'm also the director and the producer, so, you know, there's people I've met recently that said, are you bonkers? Yes, I am. But, you know, I've got 3 fantastic actors. 2 of them are seniors, and Ken Saunders and Dorothy Clements, and they are absolutely stunningly good. Mm-hmm. They're performing the parts of the grandparents, and I have a wonderful teenager, and she's a real life teenager. She's 15 years old and she's in transition year in Santa Sabina. Her name is Katie Sheridan and she's stunning. So these 3 actors we've been working together, workshopping and also improvisation as well to try and get, what we're trying to do is get the language that is totally believable.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, part of the story is, without giving anything away, part of the story is the teenager, the character's name is Izzy, she wants to go to the cinema. And when we did this with the Forget-Me-Nots, they were saying, you know, we would never have said cinema in our day. It's the picture house of the flicks.
Yeah,
so I'm going,
flicks,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's brilliant. So the older people call it always the flicks, and she calls it the cinema. You know, so we're all talking about the same thing, but we're just using our own language to make it very believable. wonderful.
A bit of improvisation on the way. Learning.
Well, the improv is super, and you know, and we've given huge liberty to the actors as well. You know, if they're saying a line and they're going, you know, I'm not really comfortable, I wouldn't say that. Like, for example, the teenager again, I had put in, you know, that she saw something on Facebook, and she says, no disrespect, but Facebook is for old ladies. She says, we go on YouTube. So, you know, we've had a hoot. So we've been rewriting the play just to make it so that when the audience hears it, it's as believable as it can be. It's, you know, and it's supposed to be, you know, that you're just hearing a conversation that's taking place between two old people, one young person, and we're thinking, is there any common ground? And yes, of course there is. It's a play. Something happens. There is a twist, and I can't tell you any more than that.
Okay. Can I just ask you a question? Because I'm in work and radio myself, I put your acting hat on. Is there much difference between stage and radio? And what is it? I mean, I listen to a lot of plays on radio quite a bit, and I absolutely love them because it helps you to conjure up in your head what's happening. It's like reading a good book. So
absolutely,
for yourself, what's in your head, and what difference is it between the theatre or film, which you've done as well?
Well, they're all three very different. The one I love the most is radio. I think the power of the voice and the power of the imagination is huge, and I always equate it to reading a book. I'm not a Kindle kind of gal at all. Mm-hmm. I like a book. I'm very old-fashioned. I also like vinyl records. You know, and in fact, I have them from the time we used to call them LPs, which was back in the day. We were cleaning out our mum's house, and all the old records we found, all the LPs and the singles, and oh my God, they just bring you right back. And there's something beautiful about holding these things. So, and your mind goes, you know, off on a tangent. So, for radio, for me, radio was always hugely important in our house. My dad had a radio show all those years ago. Now, he died a very young man. He died nearly 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a radio show on RTE, Kilga Foshti in Planksteaker Road. Gerald O'Tierney was his name. So we grew up believing that radio was the one and only best medium. So I'm totally for radio.
Okay.
Now, so radio would be my first love. My next love would be theatre.
Yeah.
Because in theatre, what you can do is just you add a layer of imagination on top of the radio.
Mm.
You have some little stimulants of a set. Now, this set is quite bare. It's a living room, but all you need are just a few little props just to signify. I mean, there's a record player there, and there's records, obviously, because that's, you know, that's a very important part of the play. Ken, our character, who is, you know, the grandfather character, his records are very important to him. You know, and there is a little bit of synergy there between Izzy and calling them vinyls, and he calls them LPs. So, yes, I love theatre. And then film, yeah, I suppose film would be my third one. The acting is all different in all three. Like, in theatre, everything is kind of a bit over the top, which kind of suits my personality a little. In film, you have to bring it right down. You know, I've often done stuff on film, and, you know, and the director would say, yeah, just less, please.
Three different completely disciplines, of course.
Yeah.
But I imagine the most boring of the three is cinema, because you're making it takes a couple of weeks if it's an indie film or whatever, and maybe months for one of these blockbusters. And I imagine it must be terribly, terribly boring. Whereas, you rehearse for the theatre, but it's all you're on. It runs for an hour and a half, as with your play now, and then the radio. I imagine is the same as a play to an extent. Okay, we were all young once. Now, this is your, as I say, your first foray into writing, and you're taking your hands on with every part of it.
Yeah.
Is it whetting your appetite then to do more? Have you something in the back burner?
Absolutely. I love it. I absolutely love it. I've got the bug. And, you know, and having done so many plays myself as an actor, you always wonder, what would it be like to sit in an audience and watch the play? Like, I mean, you know, if you could just... I mean, I love to act and I love to be on the stage, but I think I've now found where I prefer to be is, you know, having created something and then just allowing the actors to just, you know, interpret the roles and just get into the skin of those characters themselves, and then to just witness it all. And you're kind of... Like, I mean, I sit in awe of them and I'm kind of going, I know I wrote it, but my God, they're fantastic. You know, so I'm seeing, you know, and I suppose that's just the whole thing of just allowing the actors to just get on with the job that they're able to do, and just, you know, and like in terms of directing, the directors I always liked working with were the ones who just let you, you know, learn the lines and just get on with it. And if there's something that isn't really working, that's clunky, the actor knows that before anyone else does. You know yourself, like, that piece, I'm not really happy about it, I'm not really feeling it. So, and usually the mistake is in the writing, that you have to say something but you just don't believe it. You know, so we've spent an awful lot of time, you know, going through the lines, and if there's something that the actor is either stumbling over a line or not quite, it's not quite fluent, we go back to the writing and say, okay, well then, I, you know, me as the writer, I've done something wrong. If you're not saying it, you know, eloquently and fluently and it's not flowing, the fault is in the writer, not in the actor. So, you know, so that's the way it's all kind of grown quite organically.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, people can look up makinghaytheatre.ie for everything. The play itself, about, as you said there, about a 15-year-old spending a weekend alone with her estranged grandparents who are in their late 70s. And it sounds like it. There's a serious aspect to the back of it, but it sounds like it's going to be outrageously funny as well.
It is hilarious. You know, now it's not all funny, and it probably doesn't mean to be funny. You know the way sometimes when you just take something out of context, mm-hmm. you know, what's absolutely real in a 15-year-old's, you know, in her life is outrageous for grandparents, and especially the word estranged is quite important there, because we don't find out till the second half of the play. Why has Izzy not, you know, these are her maternal grandparents, why does she not know them? And, you know, there's an awful lot of, you're wondering in the first half of the play, now, why do they not have a connection? Mm-hmm. You know, and Izzy is asking questions like of her granny, where are you from, Granny Mary? You know, and yes, she's coming up from Tipperary. Why does she not know that? You know, so we need to find out as an audience, there's something there that we haven't been told yet, and it will all become apparent, and yes, it does.
Okay, it's absolutely fantastic. Oh, okay, give us all the details. Anyone wants to go, I'll let you give out the details of when it's
okay,
on and what they can do.
Okay, anyone wants to go, it's Access Ballymun. Access, by the way, fabulous venue. Absolutely love it. It's for anyone who hasn't been to that theatre before, it's wonderful. It's built in such a way, it's kind of like an amphitheatre where all the seats look down into the stage, so you really feel like you're there with the actors. You're not looking up to them, you're mm-hmm, in
directly,
there with
yeah.
them. So tickets have been selling phenomenally well, which is brilliant. Now, I'm pretty sure they're almost sold out at this stage. We might have a few returns at this stage.
Okay.
There's a 2 o'clock performance on the Tuesday, and there's an 8 o'clock one. All the wheelchair seats are definitely booked, because we had a lot of interest from nursing homes and from daycare centres and clinics, and also from teenagers.
Great,
it's
great.
It's useful for both.
Absolutely.
So, Access, I'll just give you their phone number as well.
Yeah.
It's 01883-2100.
That's 883-2100 for the Access Theatre itself, if anyone else wants to get it. But I want to get people to look up a bit, the Making Hay Theatre as well, the company itself that you've set up. It's something much needed, I think. Maybe a few more of them around the country, but particularly in Dublin. Because it's a great outlet for people. I always encourage people to play, young people, I mean, to play instruments or get into some kind of something that where you can express yourself and all that. So this is
hugely
terrific.
Important.
Yeah.
And what's really nice about this, Noel, is we're doing reminiscence sessions with Balbriggan Alzheimer's Daycare Centre at the moment on a Thursday morning, and that's wonderful, because every week we just have a vague topic about maybe food or holidays or school days, or it doesn't really matter, but it's important that we have, you know, sensory things. I have, you know, perfumes and scarves and, you know, all sorts of things, old books, you know, we had an old Irish mm-hmm. book yesterday, anything at all that just stimulates some memory, and the memory isn't even that important, it's what it triggers, and then we move on to the next thing, and it's all, you know, and we found on these Thursday mornings that, for example, yesterday one of the guys was saying he'd have a fall, and I said, that's mad, I said, I fell down the stairs the other day. And so we were talking about, you know, bumps and bruises and broken limbs, and one guy said, do you know what, he said, I broke my leg when I was 17. I haven't thought about that for years. He says, I think I've still a pin in my leg. So he rolled up his trousers and he says, I do. He says, I can't remember the last time I remembered I had a pin in my leg. This gentleman is in his 80s, you know. Fantastic that they remember stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like you can get another play out of that as well. Anyway, Karen, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and I hope to be talking to you again. It's wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you, Noel.
As I say, I can hear the nervousness plus the excitement in your voice. And I'm sure you're going to...
Well, thanks, Noel. And I'm sure it's going to be the first play of many, because there are so... Like, everybody's life has a play in it somewhere, so we just need to gather all the stories and just put them in some sort of dramatic form, and hopefully we'll create plays that are... really, my mission is to have intergenerational plays that are suitable for everybody. You know, old people were young ones too, so to try mm-hmm. and get the fun in the old person back out there again. And I suppose my mission, if I could have it in one sentence, is that if I can find the 17-year-old and everybody, we'll just all have a bit of crack.
Okay, look forward to talking to you again. It's been a great pleasure, Karen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Noel, for having me.
Bye-bye. Bye.